There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We've pulled down Days of Wonder by Keith Stewart off of the bookshelf today. In Days of Wonder, Tom is a single father and the manager for a tiny local theatre that puts on a special production every year just for his daughter Hannah, who has a life-threatening heart condition. Keith Stewart, just to let you know, he's an author, obviously, and a journalist. You might have heard of his heartwarming debut, which was A Boy Made of Blocks. It was a Richard and Judy book club pick, massive bestseller, and it was inspired by his real-life relationship with his autistic son. He's written for publications including Empire, Reds, and Esquire, and is the former games editor of The Guardian. Hi, Keith, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Thanks for joining us on the show. We're really excited to talk to you. One of the first things I wanted to ask you was, A Boy Made of Blocks was a massive bestseller. It was hugely popular. And was this a bit of, did this put a bit of pressure on you when you were writing this book?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there was quite a lot of pressure because I didn't really expect, I wasn't really sure how Boy Made of Blocks would do because it's quite a you know, reasonably challenging subject matter, even though I feel like I tried to deal with it in a lighthearted way, you know. The subject of autism and childhood and parenthood, it can be quite stressful. So, yeah, I wasn't sure how many people it would touch, and also video games as well. You know, there's a big video game component, and I thought, are people really going to understand or believe that video games can be so important and positive? But luckily, people really took to the story. So yes, it was very difficult to follow it.
Both of your novels deal with parent-child relationships, and they're slightly different, and we'll get onto that later. But what is it about that dynamic that you feel compelled to explore?
I guess since becoming a parent myself, it's really made me think about the relationships within a family, and I think they're the most kind of profound and complicated relationships we have in some ways, because although we can pick our friends and we can pick our partners in love, we don't pick our families. So there's all these kind of really complicated relationships, and I just really wanted to explore them. And also because I'm really interested in technology and culture and the effects that these can have on family life. You know, family life is changing. It's changed drastically over the last 10 years because of social media and the internet and video games, and the way we live today is very different. So, and I think the family is a really great place to explore what's happening in the world. So that, I think that's really why.
Hi, Keith. I wanted to ask you a question about Tom, about the father figure. I was wondering how much, because I read your first book and I always pictured you as the father, because I know that that book was sort of based a little bit on your own experience. So I was wondering how much of you is in Tom, and also maybe why, how it came to you for him to be a single dad to Hannah, as opposed to maybe making Tom a mum character as opposed to a father character.
Yeah, so I guess I think most authors would say whenever they have a protagonist, there's a little bit of them in there, and I think there probably is with me and Tom. Very different from me. I think with me and Alex, there's a little bit of the parenthood side that's quite similar. Some of the things that Alex faces as a parent are quite similar to me. Whereas with Tom, I studied English and drama at A-level and university, and I was really, really keen. I loved acting, and I still love theatre, but I really loved acting and performing, and didn't really have the confidence to carry it through. So I think there's a little bit of maybe frustrated ambition, of my own frustrated ambitions represented in Tom. So yeah, there's a little bit of me in him, definitely, in terms of his love of the theatre and his love of make-believe. I really wanted it to be a father and a daughter, because again, I think that's really interesting dynamic. I mean, and there was something I could slightly relate to. Even though I don't have daughters, I know what it's like to be a father. And I think a mother-daughter dynamic is something that I don't maybe have enough perception of to really to do it in an authentic way. I recently saw the film Lady Bird, and the portrayal of the mother-daughter relationship in that is so amazing. And I just don't think there's any way I could have got close to that. So I just needed an anchor in the story, and I thought having a father was what did it for me, I think.
Hi, Keith. It's Rachel speaking. Just to let you know, before you came on, we are all universally admiring of the book. We just think it's fantastic. And one of the things...
Oh, great. Oh, that's nice.
Well, it's always nice to hear, isn't it? But one of the things we loved about it is the fact that you kind of instill it with all this wonder and this magic. And we were talking about part of the story is about how Tom gives this sort of gift of magic to Hannah, and that's what helps her cope with life, really. And I wondered if that's something you try and do with your own children.
I do. I try, yeah, and that's something that I've definitely always tried to do, to try to get them to see the possibilities in the world beyond beyond what they can see and touch and feel.
Yeah.
I think make believe is really, really important. I mean, you know, as parents, we sat down with our children from the moment they were born and read them stories. And I like to often, you know, I'll sit down and make up stories of my sons, and we have a little game that we play where I get them to write down words on pieces of paper, scraps of paper, and then I'll start telling a story, and I'll point at one of them and get them to turn over the word they've just written down, and we just make up these funny stories that are sort of randomised, and they really love doing that. And I really love the idea that there are stories in everything, and there's, you know, possibilities and magic in place. When we go for walks, we'll imagine, you know, we'll pretend we'll be in make believe, and I think that's something that, you know, as adults we tend to lose a little bit, and we tend to see this world in very practical terms. And I think it's really important, not just for your children but for yourself, to be able to see the possibilities and magic in the world.
Well, I think you've done a brilliant job of capturing it in the book, so hooray for you.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's good then.
Tara, you had a question that you wanted to ask Keith.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating about what you're saying about you tell your children the stories, Keith, because actually that's how Roald Dahl started his career, that he used to tell his grandchildren stories. He used to make them up to get them to go to sleep. And then it was only when Sophie Dahl, like, begged him to write them down that he became an author. So that leads me on to, I know that your first book was inspired by your relationship with your son. And it's fascinating that you said you didn't know whether autism would connect, because it's actually Autism Month awareness, and 1 in 88 children are born with autism. So it's fascinating that you didn't think that it would be such a big thing. But anyway, leading on to my question is, if your first book was inspired by your relationship with your son, what was Days of Wonder inspired by?
Well, yes, it's, I think there's two very separate things. One was that my wife has a friend who had a hole in the heart surgery as a baby and had subsequent surgeries, hole in the heart surgeries, through her childhood and early teen years. And she told me a little bit about what it was like being a teenager and going through all the pressures of being a teenager, but also having this kind of heart condition in the background. And I found that really, really fascinating. But also, this will feel like a tangent, but it isn't, but I'm a supporter of Manchester City Football Club, and I have been all the way through my life. And in the early 2000s, they had a player called Marc Vivien Foé, who was an amazing, combative midfielder, an incredible presence on the pitch. And he very, very sadly and tragically died of a heart condition. He died on the pitch at the Africa Nations Cup. And I found this incredibly upsetting, and Manchester City's reaction was very moving. They retired his shirt number, and it's still retired. It'll never be used again. And it was just, I found it, I found it very moving and very tragic. And his story was that he had they found later he had a form of cardiomyopathy, which often affects teenagers. Often they don't know they've got it, and they can, quite literally, often during sporting occasions in PE, they can have a heart attack and die. And I just thought, goodness, what must this be like to be a teenager and to be experiencing life and growing up and going through all the things we all do as a teenager, but also having this possibility that you might not make it in the background. And and that really sort of drew me in, and I thought, this is a story that I wanted to try and tell.
Yeah, no, I think, and you did it so well, and the way that you wrote as Hannah. So I was given the book to read, and I have to say, I read the book, I was enchanted. I loved it. And then when I was like, okay, let's look up this Keith Stewart figure, I didn't know that it was written by a man until I'd finished the book. And it was just...
Oh, God, that's good then.
No, that was so great. And what I loved as well, and how you said about Hannah has this ticking time bomb and she never knows when she's going to... I think it just gave her so much wisdom. It just, you know, she took every day. And what we were saying earlier was that because everyone knew that she was eventually, sadly, going to die, it gave them this kind of excuse to kind of be totally honest and treat her differently.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be more in love with this book. I think you're amazing.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you so much.
Fan, you know, I'm a United supporter, but no, you're incredible.
Really? Oh.
You should be so proud. It's just amazing, this book.
Thank you so much. Yeah. One thing that I wondered was, so there's the part that I read out earlier that I really liked. So Hannah's saying that she learned a lot from the Snow Queen and from basically lots of fairy tales that she was reading and from the comics that she read as well. So she said, I learned that the escapism of the theatre means different things to different people. I wanted to be Wonder Woman and Ted wanted to be free. Do Hannah's reading choices have anything to do with your own when you were growing up?
Yeah, quite a bit. I think I have this habit of trying to justify the things that I love through the books that I've written. I've always done it through journalism. And whereas Boy Made of Blocks was really the case in the defence of video games, I really wanted to, like, comics were really, really important to me growing up, and it was all I read until I was about maybe even 15, 16. And you know, I encountered great storytellers like Alan Moore through comics. I loved 2000 AD. I loved Daredevil. I really loved... there's lots and lots of comics, and I saw the value in them at a time when, you know, they were people were disparaged from reading them, and also I really love fairy tales as well, and we tend to think of fairy tales only through the sort of the lens of Disney or through the lens of very sweet and staid modern translations of fairy tales, whereas I really love the kind of dark, misty, supernatural feel of the great early fairy tales, and I think there was something, you know, lots of my female friends grew up reading fairy tales and Japanese manga comics, and they found those kind of experiences really helpful, and so I really have this sense of I wanted to explore why fairy tales and why comic books could be important storytelling mediums for young children and as a way of picturing and understanding the world.
I think this idea of influences is really interesting, and I was also interested because the fact that you're a computer gaming journalist and some of the most kind of creative stories, not necessarily in books, but are coming out of people like you or Charlie Brooker or Rihanna Pratchett, and I wondered if there's something within that kind of computer gaming universe that makes people, I don't know, see things a bit differently or tell stories a bit differently.
I think there is. I think it's really interesting you've picked up on Rihanna and Charlie, who both you know, grew up playing video games and then have taken their experiences in very different directions.
Yeah.
And there's also Naomi Alderman as well, who wrote The Power, an amazing post-apocalyptic feminist book. And she grew up playing video games as well. And I think what it perhaps is that video games allow space for lots and lots of space for interaction and interpretation and involvement in the story that other mediums can't. So in a video game, you know, you are Lara Croft or you are Nathan Drake, and it just gives you that space and gives you that agency within the story, and I think it makes you think about story in a very different way and makes it almost feel like something much more interactive that you have a physical grasp of. And I think that really shows in, especially in The Power, Naomi Alderman's book, and also all of Rihanna Pratchett's work with Tomb Raider and with the Tomb Raider comics. There's that sense of, you know, almost visceral involvement.
Brilliant. Well, that's quite a nice thought for kids growing up today as well, who are being told to play less. Actually, it makes you more creative.
So, I think so, yeah. I think it just makes you think of stories in a very different way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a narrative, it's a world. And, you know, and I think we've all, children that have grown up playing reading The Hunger Games and Harry Potter, those are very much stories that establish a world, not just a narrative. And I think, you know, that's a really interesting way of thinking about stories.
Well, we could talk to you for ages, Keith, because it's been so much fun. But unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much for coming on the show to talk to us today. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thanks so much.
Have a lovely day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.